Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, please. 2 Timothy 4, and the first two verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Once again, pleased to have you here with us as we worship God in spirit and in truth in the building. And pleased to have you tuned in by way of radio, a friendly invitation for you to come join us any chance that you may have here in the building. You'd be our welcome and our honored guest. We'd love to meet and visit with and study together with you. There was a man and wife who were driving down the road, and they were ready to get off the interstate, and they were down in Mississippi. And they start arguing because the husband said, "Honey, let me know when you see the first sign that says Tupelo." And she said, "Honey, I'm fairly certain it's Tupelo." So for the next 10, 15 miles, they argue back and forth. Is it Tupelo? Is it Tupelo? Is it Tupelo? Is it Tupelo? He said, "All right, I'll settle this once and for all. The first exit we see, whatever it is, we're going to take it. I'm going to turn right at the first business I'm at, walk in and figure out how you pronounce the name of the place." So sure enough, they took their exit. They pulled in. The man walked up to the counter and said, "Please say very slowly for me, where are we?" And the little kid behind the counter said, "Burger King." Jonathan, glad you're here for a Mississippi joke, too. This morning, we're going to begin something that I've been looking forward to. It's a series, but it's a year-long series, but it's a different kind. My goal, first Sunday morning of the month. Well, for radio, a week behind, depending on where you listen. But regardless, first Sunday morning of the month, the 11 o'clock service. I want to preach a series of lessons that I did not write. And I'll go ahead and tell you this right now. I did not write these lessons as we talk about preach the word. These sermons were written by a man. His name is R.C. White. Richard Campbell White was his name. He was born in 1862. He passed in 1961. I have a copy of the book here. It was published by George D. Hoff. As a hobby, I collect books that D. Hoff published, probably because I work there and I know whatever D. Hoff put his name on would be good. I can know that going into it. Now, I don't want to place too much emphasis on the human author of this lesson because really it comes from God's Word. But I want to share with you just a little bit about him from his bio, from the introduction. I've seen it hardback in blue, hardback in red, and I also have it in hardback or paperback in green. I don't have the red one, but I've seen the rest. R.C. White was born in Bedford County in Unionville on September 17th. You may have been to Unionville. He went to what was called the Nashville Bible School, earned a four-year degree, and graduated on May the 26th, 1896, in the first graduating class of a school that would later be known as David Lipscomb College, now David Lipscomb University. He went from there and went to George Peabody College for Teachers, and he graduated there in 1909. In 1913, he went out of there and started preaching. He preached in 17 states, and he has been known that his converts remain faithful. But here's what's interesting. His first local work began in Chattanooga on January 19, 1936, at Cowart Street, known as the quote-unquote Mother Church of Christ in Chattanooga. When this book was written, 1945, he was in his 10th year preaching there. And he stayed there for a while. He's actually buried in Alabama. Why do I want to share with you a lesson or a series from R.C. White? Watch this here. In 1937 or 1938, I like to go with the latter date. Don't know exactly which one, though. He was preaching in a gospel meeting outside of Guild, or in Guild, Tennessee, which is just right outside of Chattanooga. There was a 14 or a 15-year-old that was there. That's a picture of that 15-year-old when he was in the Army at about 21. About 30 years later, after this 15-year-old was baptized, they had their third son, or third child, a daughter. There you see that man with his daughter. He was a principal of a school that was on their way to school. About 35 years later, had a fourth child. That third child had another child. And then 25 years later, after they had Sarah, I married her. This man baptized my wife's grandfather, who did not grow up in the church. He did not have a good home life. And yet he obeyed the gospel in about 1938. And he preached and was a Christian for 80 years. He didn't get to preach that long, but he preached. And he was a good preacher and was president at schools and principals. And I like Brother R.C. White because he helped have a lasting imprint on my wife's family by marriage, my family. I want us to look. Oh, there's us on our wedding day. Look at that. I want to preach a sermon that R.C. White wrote. Plain and simple. Preach the word. There's 2 points. Follow with me here. Preach the word. Also, I like this lesson as a January 1st or 2nd, because guess what we need to do in this new year, brethren? We need to preach the word each and every day to everyone we see. One of the ways we'll do that is Bible Bowl coming up. One of the ways we're going to do that is with our neighborhood Bible study on Monday nights. But guess what? You don't have to be at the building to preach the word. Let us talk about this. Preach the word. And to answer that, go with me to the book of Acts. What is the word? Brother Justin, Paul, we read, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Well, what is the word I'm supposed to be preaching? Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8. 4 references in this chapter alone. And you can see a great picture here at the end of this. Notice, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, which will be in Acts on Monday nights, by the way. Acts 8, beginning in verse 4. Therefore, they were Christians, scattered abroad everywhere, preaching the word. What do you mean? Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Wait. They were scattered everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. And one of these people who's preaching the word's name, Philip, goes in the city of Samaria. What does he preach? Christ. Therefore, when you preach the word, you're preaching Christ. But go on to verse 12. Notice this. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So as they went preaching the word, and he preached Christ, he preached things concerning the kingdom of God, he preached unto him the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what happened when Philip preached unto them? The word took root. It converted people, and we had men and women baptized for the remission of their sins. But look at verse 35, the same chapter. Philip is now talking with a nobleman, an Ethiopian eunuch. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What is the word? Well, it's the story of Jesus. You know, we sing the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. I write on my heart every word. We preach Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We call that the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We preach the word of things concerning the kingdom, about the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what happens when we preach the word every time? Souls are converted. You say, well, wait, I've heard people hear the message and they're not converted. Then they weren't listening all the way, or they don't want to be converted. They had that prick in their heart, but they didn't want to act upon it, because to act upon it means I've got to quit living my sinful life. And brethren, I hate to say it, there are people who know what to do to be saved, and they're not here this morning because they like living a worldly life too much to be here. They don't want to give up their New Year's Eve parties where they go crazy. They don't want to give up their casual whatever because they don't want to do what God has said. Go with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 25 as well. As we're trying to figure out, answer the simple question, what is the word? 1 Peter 1, 25, notice this. The word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. It is a word that endures forever. You know what the good news about that is? You don't have to get an update. They're not going to roll. God's not going to roll out with the 2022 or like car models. He's not going to have a 2023 version of the gospel. It is the same. It endures forever. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. You don't add your thoughts into it. You don't say, well, I really wish it said this. You take what the Word says. Because Paul told Timothy, you preach the Word. We today are told to preach the Word. What is that? You preach unto them Jesus Christ. I've met people say, Brother Justin, it won't work. Have you ever tried it? I've sat down and talked with people. just expounding unto them scripture, not beating them over the head, just studying it together. And you just see tears well up in their eyes because they realize my life is missing something and this is it. I'm missing Jesus. We need to preach the word. Now let's move on to our second point, which as you guessed is where we'll spend the rest of our time. There are five helpful questions that I need to answer in regards to preaching the word. Number one, where do I preach? Just exactly where do I need to preach? Because I know what the word is. We figured that one out. But where do I do it? Go with me to the end of Matthew, if you will. And we'll come back and forth to some of these. But notice here, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus says, "Go ye," which if you've ever read the book, "Go ye" means go me. If you've just read the title, you know what that means. Me, you, I, go ye into all nations. Teach all nations. Now, who is excluded in all nations? Well, nobody. That means the people that I really want to go tell the gospel to, I'm going to. And guess what? That coworker that you have that just gets under your skin, it's like they've got a knife in your side, they just twist it every time they talk to you, they need the gospel as well. The people that are our political enemies, that are the enemies of this country that we live in, they still need the gospel, and they fall into all nations. Teach all nations, baptizing them in or into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So where do I preach? Well, first and foremost, Jesus tells us, you preach everywhere. Go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, because before Jesus Christ ascends, leaves his chosen behind to preach the gospel in the first recorded sermon, Acts 2. In Acts 1, it's almost as if God gives, or Jesus gives them a bullet-pointed list. Here's where I want you to preach. Notice this. You shall receive power upon high, or power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come unto you. You shall be witnesses. Watch this. Both in Jerusalem. Well, that's where they started, Acts 2. In Judea, that's where they go right after Acts 2. In Samaria. Oh, wait, we've already been in Acts 8. Philip's preaching in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where you go preach, which means that includes every place. They start in Jerusalem, yes, for Pentecost. That was just about 10 days from where this happens. But then they go everywhere. And that is fulfilled in the rest of the book of Acts. Starting in Acts 8 onward, you get Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel went everywhere. And we see, we've already mentioned Acts 8. Go with me to Acts 20 and verse 20. Notice where Paul preached and where Paul was accused of preaching. He's meeting with the Ephesian elders and he's kind of giving them a recount, if you will, a missionary report on the work he's been doing and knowing he'll probably never see them again. He says, verse 20 of Acts 20, "And you know how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have shown you," watch this, "and I've taught unto you publicly and from house to house." What does that mean? Well, A, Paul went everywhere preaching, and B, he taught the same thing from the pulpit as he did on a one-on-one Bible study. There wasn't a different how to be saved if you're home and as opposed to when standing in the pulpit. He taught publicly and from house to house. Dear friends, how should we preach? We need a 2020 vision, publicly and from house to house. A personal study as well as a congregational study. So where? Anywhere and everywhere. Our second question. When do I preach? All right, Jesus, go back with me to Matthew 28. I get that you said we need to preach the word, and now I know what the word is. The word is you, Jesus, and I know who I'm supposed to preach to. When do I do it? That's the utmost question, right? Is there a specific time and my alarm goes off and ding, 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 I got to preach the word? Watch this. Teaching them, verse 20, Matthew 28, to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and along with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age, literally in Greek, the dispensation period of time, always. When do we preach? Now. Were we alive yesterday? Yes, we should have been preaching then. If we're alive tomorrow by the grace of God, if He hastens the return of His Son, then guess what? We preach again tomorrow. We preach until Jesus Christ comes back. We preach until the end of the age. And we do not dare stop a moment too soon. Go with me to see how Jesus says it according to the pen of Luke. Luke 25, it should say 49. I don't know why it says 45. Disregard. Luke 24, 49. Jesus says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry into Jerusalem." So you got to wait until they're in Jerusalem, and then you preach unto them until you're endued. He says, "Preach to all nations," verse 47, verse 48, "be witnesses," and you're going to start Jerusalem. And guess what? You preach in Jerusalem. And once the church was established, I read the book of Acts. There's not a chapter goes by I don't see them preaching where they're at, when they're at, to whatever audience. Let's see what Jesus says in John 16 in verse 13. Then we move on to our third helpful question. John 16 and 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever you shall hear, that shall you speak." When? When we're told what to speak, that's when we speak it. "And he will show you things to come." Now Jesus is talking to the 12. Well, Judas sitting there, the 11. And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to speak. And when he tells you what to speak, you say it. Now today the Holy Spirit's not going to come thump me on the head and say, "Justin, say this." But guess what? He speaks to me through his word. When I know what the soul-saving message of salvation is, that's when I preach it. And I know what it is today. That means I preach the Word of God today. What's our third helpful question? Well, who's going to do it? All right. I know what the Word is. I know where I'm going to do it. I know when I'm going to do it. Who's going to do it? Well, you guessed it. Go back with me to Matthew. Last time we're in this passage in Matthew, by the way. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16, then also verse 19. Verse 16, "The 11 disciples went away to Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." This command is given to them, but it's also given to us as well. Watch this. Verse 19, "Go ye therefore." I am supposed to go out and preach. Yes, I know. I'm preaching right now. My name's on the sign as the minister. Honored to be there. But your name doesn't have to be on the sign or in the bulletin or stand in the pulpit to preach. You can preach a sermon at work. Some of the best sermons I've ever heard are not by preachers. But they're Christians who are just living their everyday life, trying to use their situation to help encourage somebody else to be faithful. Who preaches? We do. Go with me back to the book of Acts where we began a few moments ago. I want you to notice who does the preaching in Acts 8. Saul, to set the scene, has held the coats in chapter 7 for the stoning of Stephen, the first recorded martyr, or one who gives up his life for a cause, the first martyr for Christianity. Chapter 8 and verse 1, "Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, haling men and women committed to prison. Therefore, because of this persecution in Jerusalem, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Who was preaching in Acts 8, 1 through 4? Is it the apostles? No. The apostles stayed back in Jerusalem because they've got to deal with things in Jerusalem. But these Christians who were fleeing for the safety of their life, they went everywhere, verse 4, preaching the word. See, when persecution arises, we can either give in and say, "Woe is me," hold my hands up, say, "I can't do it." Or we can use it as an opportunity and go everywhere preaching the gospel. Now, were all these people very well speakers? No, they couldn't have been. But yet they still preached the word. Why? Because they knew a soul-saving secret that the masses needed to know. So they went everywhere preaching the gospel. In my mind, as they're fleeing from Jerusalem, and this family stopped in this town, and they went to this person and that person. Then as they moved on this journey, they kept going from house to house. Here's Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about him. Notice what Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, back in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That means Paul's a soldier, Timothy's a soldier. We're all soldiers. Why? Because we're all preachers. We're all teachers. We're all evangelists. There's someone in your life that you know of this very moment who has never obeyed the gospel. If there's no one in your life that you know of that has never obeyed the gospel, I would like to shake your hand, take my picture with you. Because I know everybody that knows someone in their life that is not saved. someone in their life that is not living a righteous life, you can go speak to them. Here's the spoiler alert. I know Brother Gary's working this morning, but I'll use Brother Jonathan as an example. I go speak to someone, Jonathan goes speak to someone, and they may not take it as well from us as if you, because you know them, right? You work with them. You sit next to them every day, do this, that. They'll listen to you sometimes more than they'll listen to the guy who stands in the pulpit and preaches. Who shall preach? Well, we all shall preach. Our next question then, what are we going to preach? I know what, or I know where, I know how, I know who, but what am I going to preach? Go with me to the 2 Corinthians letter, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And I'm going to tell you now, sometimes preaching's easy. Oh, sometimes you get to tell the fun stories. The widow and her mites, the talking donkey story, Noah's Ark. Sometimes you don't get to preach fun things, so to speak. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Paul is writing a letter to those in Corinth saying, I'm going to get out what I need to get out now, some heavy material that you don't want to hear. So when I come to you, I can be all nice and happy. Because you've got some problems. See, sometimes when we preach, when we teach the Word of God, we've got to look someone in the eye, not being shaking a finger at them, but going, dear friend, you said you believe the Bible. Right here it says this action you're doing is unscriptural. It's sinful. And if you were to die at this very moment, you'd go to hell for eternity. That's never been my favorite thing to do, but we do it. Why? Because we're commanded. Sometimes we've got to tell people heavy news without getting into it so we don't get bogged down. I had the privilege of talking to a guy on the phone 2 weeks away from being married, and to tell him scripturally he's still married to his previous wife. And he said, so that means you won't do the ceremony? No, sir, I won't. And the next breath he said, well, do you know a preacher who will? Which told me that he wasn't really caring about what God said anymore. That was a heavy, I dreaded that phone call. I did. That was upsetting news to me to have to tell, but that's what the scripture says. Go with me to 2 John 9, verse 11 as well. A couple of verses there in 2 John, just has one little chapter. We preach the heavy items, but notice this. We preach the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We preach the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. We preach the Bible to you, scripturally binding the New Testament, and look at the Old Testament for examples and for learning. Romans 15 and 4. So who shall preach? We shall. What shall we preach? The heavy items, the light items, preach the gospel. Finally, and here's why I like the way they wrote sermons in 1945. Why preach has 7 quick reasons. We're going to breeze through them, trust me. Why do I preach the gospel? It is the source of all true civilization. It comes from God, right? Everything in our life is built around God and being faithful to God. Now, there are people who try to remove that, but you can't remove God from everything because we're created in the image of God, not physically, but spiritually, but still we're created in the image of God. That's why I preach. I preach because it's a commandment of the Lord. We've looked at the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke. 1 John 5:3 says his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. That means it's not something that I can't do. And God's commanded I preach the word. So brethren, you better believe I'm going to preach the word, and I encourage you to do the same. Why do we preach? So we can hear Christ. Matthew 17:5 at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ is being encircled by the cloud of God, and there's Moses and Elijah appearing there, and out of the cloud God speaks the same words at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Yet Mount of Transfiguration adds 3 simple words, hear ye him. Don't listen to Moses anymore, don't listen to Elijah anymore, and then they disappear. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to my Son. That's the only way to hear God. We were talking about that in their Hebrew class this morning. Brother Duane taught so wonderfully. It's the only way to come to God. You can't escape Hebrews 2 if we neglect so great a salvation. So that's why I need to preach, because I can't escape it. I can't escape condemnation whether I want to be faithful to God or not. Why do I preach? Because it produces faith. Faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What's that mean? I've got to hear the word to have faith. Therefore, if I want to convert someone, I need to preach to them. I need to teach them. They need to get in the Word of God because it produces faith. In fact, in Acts 15 and verse 7, it talks about hearing and believing. When Peter's recounting that story of the conversion of Cornelius, they heard and they believed. Why do I preach? Number 5, because it saves the soul. Psalm 19 says it is perfect converting the soul. But go with me to Acts 11. We won't run all these references, but Acts 11 and 14 is a verse I've got underlined in my copy of Scripture. You might want to do likewise. Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, converted in the 10th chapter of Acts. His story is recounted in the 11th chapter and some in the 15th chapter as well. Notice this. Peter is recounting his story to those who did not believe him. Cornelius was sent and said, "Send for Simon, whose surname is Peter," verse 14. "He will tell thee words whereby thou and thy household shall be saved." Would be told words, that means he has to hear them and act upon them. Words are what saved. It wasn't a miraculous thump. It wasn't, all his sins are just immediately gone. He had to hear and act upon that. It saves the soul. That's the engrafted word, James 1:25, able to save your soul. Number 6, why do we preach? It's the complete guide. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 makes the man of God perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work, lacking nothing. I have up there RX on the screen. That's shorthand for abbreviation for a doctor prescription, right? You go to the doctor, something's wrong with you. The doctor gets out his little pad. Now they send it electronically, but gets out his little pad and scribbles on it. You need to take this pill where the name is like this long, and you take it 3 days and then skip a day, whatever it is. That prescription, that thing he wrote out, that's the instruction to the person at the pharmacy, to the druggist. Justin needs this pill. It needs to be this dose, and he needs this many of them. He must follow those instructions. That's his complete guide. He doesn't have to know anything else. The pharmacist knows, I need this pill and this many of them because my doctor said so. Jesus Christ, the great physician, he's gave us our prescription on how to be complete, how to be whole. 2 Peter 1 and 3, all things pertain to life and godliness. All things. And finally, why do I preach? Because it leads me to heaven. It leads to heaven. Those who obey the gospel and are faithful, who obey the word that's been preached, their sins are washed away, and it puts them on the path to an eternal home in heaven. I need to preach the word. Here's what else. This is a direct quote from this outline book. Exhort to obedience of this in all scripture, i.e. encourage the audience, heed the warning. You know, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. We must do what God has commanded. We see in Hebrews 5:8-9 that he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And in Proverbs 22 and verse 17, we're told we hear and obey. Christ has a simple invitation, and it's always the same invitation. Revelation 22, come. Dear friends, you have had the Word of God preached to you today, hopefully in its simplicity and in a manner that we can all understand. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to respond? Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. We sing this invitation song to encourage you to do such, to respond and be faithful to the very end. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not do so? I can think of nothing better to start our new year than being obedient to the gospel. Maybe you have done that. I can think of nothing better new year to be faithful to God. If you're not faithful, why not repent of those sins? We'd love to pray with you and pray for you that your sins be forgiven and you can leave this building in a wonderful state in the sight of Almighty. And then go out there, brethren, and preach the word to everyone you know, because everyone has a soul and they all don't want to go to hell. I guarantee you that. So preach the word. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, would you let it be known while we stand?